So, good morning once again to our listeners, wherever you may be. My name's Satchanama. I'm here at the college meeting at Adishtana. It's a Tuesday morning. The college meeting's due to end in a couple of days. But we've had a series of interviews on this college meeting introducing the new members of the college. So we had Dharma Dinner talking to Subhadramati, who's new to the college, and Parami talking to Ashok Sri. This morning I've got with me Nagabodhi and Perna. Perna's the third new member of the college. He's here for his first college meeting. So I'm going to hand over to Nagabodhi, who's a good friend of Perna's, and he's going to ask a few questions by way of introducing Perna.
Indeed he is. I've known Perna since, we met in 1977, though in fact we're contemporaries, having both been ordained in 1974 on opposite sides of the planet. And because of my life as a president and preceptor, I visited New Zealand pretty regularly since 1989 and worked and had many, many good times with Perna over the years. And we worked together in the Antipodean GFR process for men. So hello Perna. Welcome to the sofa, as they say. And I think it might be good if... for people to, you know, who maybe don't know you so well, you know, just to give an idea of what you have done as an order member, what your order life, what's been the shape of your order life.
The very early days in the late 70s, I came and lived in Britain in the burnt out old fire station that eventually became the London Buddhist Centre. Early 80s, I lived and worked as an anagarika in Rhodes with Lokamitra in India. Back to New Zealand, coming and going from India a little bit during that period. Went back there for a year in the late 80s, did a Gaudiya Loka as well. Mostly I've been, through the 90s, 2000s, been based in New Zealand, living and working there. And very much, more recently, increasingly involved with the men's GFR process. Order convening.
And a fabled study leader and giver of great talks. And now that you're retired, planning to be increasingly involved, am I right, yes. Would you say?
Well, I am increasingly involved. I haven't got the time for full-time work.
Mm. And I think something that might interest people, and we do have other Antipodeans in the college, but I don't know if anyone's just explained how it is that the movement, Sri Ratna, TBN, Friends of the Western Buddhist Order, ended up in New Zealand. What's the story?
Quite unusual circumstances. Akshobhya was ordained by Bante in 1970 at a place called Centre Point in London. And
the tower block, the skyscraper?
I think it was. Gosh. They rented a room for the night or something for a talk.
I never knew that.
Some people got ordained. Within weeks, Akshobhya was working his passage on a boat and wound up in New Zealand. And for years, all he did was play in Sunday afternoons, he would play a tape lecture of Sangharakshitas and do a sevenfold puja. And that was the beginnings of the movement in New Zealand.
And how soon after that, I mean, is that when you got involved?
I came along late 1973 and increasingly got involved through 1974.
Yeah.
So Akshobhya had been living there since 1972, running these tape lectures.
Yeah.
That's really all he did, was introduce people to Bante's tape lectures in the front living room.
And yet when Bante went over in 1974, there were how many?
We had about 12, 15 of us preparing for ordination. Asvajit came out about halfway through 1974 to lead a pre-ordination group. Bante arrived at the end of 1974 and through early 75. And that first visit ordained 12 of us all up.
How many are left?
Three. Mega, Vijaya and myself. Sure. And Archila from that visit.
Not bad, considering.
Yeah.
And maybe too, to just, I mean, there's a lot of histories I know and you know, ups and downs, but it's left you now in 2016 with what? What's the shape of the movement? Down at the centres, the numbers, I guess.
Well, it's in very good shape, actually. Over the years have have had their impact. We've lost a lot of people permanently to the UK in many cases, but a lot of people have come over here, got their experience of the movement and gone back. We've had a lot of overseas visitors, including yourself, who've had significant impact over the years. Mm. I think in terms of, if I was going to isolate a single factor that contributed to things in Australia and New Zealand, I think it's overseas visitors and the regularity of them.
Yeah. And so now in New Zealand and Australia, because Australia can't really be seen as an offshoot of New Zealand, except that the team that went out to start things in Australia had a forced stay in New Zealand.
Yes.
On their way out for quite a while.
Well, Buddhadasa did. Yeah. The Pantera went straight to Australia.
Okay. But let's just quickly look at what we've got down there so people know. You know, the centres, the retreat centres.
So the oldest established centres were actually contemporary Auckland and Christchurch. Christchurch sort of disappeared off the scene in the late 70s. And it's been re-emerging. Wellington got established in the 70s. And then in the 80s, we had Sydney and then Melbourne set up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's now a lot of small centres in places around Australia, particularly. I'm thinking of Toowoomba, Port Ferry. Thames in New Zealand, of course. Sudarshanaloka, Vijayaloka retreat centres. Naga in Australia.
I mean, it is pretty thriving.
Yeah, doing very well.
And I'm just trying to think, like, if you were to sort of walk into the Auckland Buddhist Centre on a Monday night for a friend's night, you'd find yourself with, 40 people, 50 people?
30, 40.
Yeah. And on a GFR retreat, a men's GFR retreat in January,
where would there be about 40 guys?
Yeah. So it's quite a substantial sort of part of the movement's work. Maybe it would be good to say something about the sort of shape of the GFR world, let's say for men, down there that you work with. Like, what is it? What does it add up to at the moment in terms of facilities and opportunities for guys there?
For years we've been holding an annual 2-week GFR retreat in which we've been inviting Naga Bodhi and Sona out to. But recently we've established a pattern of an additional New Zealand-based retreat, slightly smaller. It's a 10-day rather than a 2-week. But they've been proving very successful.
This is based in New Zealand?
Yeah. So New Zealand-wise, we've got a regular pattern of 2 annual GFR retreats. We're trying to introduce the same in Australia. Melbourne looks like it's keen to pick that one up.
Can I just ask, who's the team who works with you on that? Presuming there's a number of you, isn't it? Naga Bodhi, you go down for one of those.
As Perna said, I go down in January every year with Sona, usually. And for a long time, Buddhadasa was part of that as well, but he's been working here with Bhatti. So we have been the sort of 3 public preceptors. Now, wonderfully, we're joined by Perna as a public preceptor. And then there are in New Zealand and Australia something like 10, 12 private preceptors.
Yeah.
Which has come together really in particular in the last 10 years. It's moved from being quite sort of dominated
less,
by visitors
less,
to...
Less, actually. It's been about since 2010, 2012.
Oh, 3 visitors, I think.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, yes, Kemadama was
Kemadama
the only
has
one.
Been doing,
yeah.
doing wonderful work they've had for quite a few years. Slowly joined by increasing numbers of others.
Yeah.
So in New Zealand, the other private preceptors...
We have an annual private preceptors retreat for...
Yeah, and who are the other people you're working with?
All right.
Ratnavyuha.
Ratnavyuha, Guhisiddhi.
Guhisiddhi, Dhammadhara.
Siladasa, Arunamanin.
Kendamara, Viraja, Dhammananda. some of these names people may remember from the UK in the early days.
I think that was, Sanjeeva.
Yeah.
A very good team, actually. Yeah. You know, some very, very good people who've, you know, quite a lot of resources. I mean, these are people who have, you know, for a very long time held kind of responsibilities for setting up centres, taking big steps, you know, taking on Sudarshana Loka, 250 acres of regenerating bush on the Coromandel Peninsula. Mm. You know, big gambles for Jayaloka, the Sydney centre. I mean, big expense, big loans, huge responsibility, you know, a long way from the support of a wider movement, yet making a go of it.
And they're all sort of self-financing from within that region.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Or not self-financing from within that region.
What financing?
Yeah. But, you know, there it is. You know, it's a substantial, you know, part of that. Highly, highly, I mean, you know, as a peripatetic president and preceptor, I think I would say that the movement you encounter when you go to Australia or New Zealand is entirely 100% recognisable. You know you've walked into Truratna with absolutely no sort of, in a way, no adjustments, which could be taken as a bad thing. You know, that you know, you might see tiny little sort of concessions to local culture, which are to some extent controversial, where the Dana in New Zealand is, the bow has koha written on it, which is the Maori word for Dana. But basically, you know, you're absolutely at home and you know what you're doing. And as a rule, I'd say the order members in those regions are, you know, for whatever difficulties they've inevitably gone through in their sort of dynamics, really know their Dharma and really understand the movement. So many of them have lived over here too as part of their training.
I think that's an important factor. There's been, New Zealand especially, the order has been very well integrated with the order in the UK over the years.
And Nagabedi said to you, Bernard, that you were a famed study leader. Do you have particular texts that you revisit or deep love for?
He knows it all. He's
You know, if you were going to choose to lead study on something, what would you choose?
Gosh, the White Lotus Sutra or the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Hmm. So you've done various events on those over the years, yeah. And I know you're over, sorry, I'm interrupting you. You're over here, you've been in the UK a bit longer than the college meeting. You're also going to Cookie Loka, aren't you? You've got.
I'm going to be spending some time here at Adistana, some time at Padmaloka, and I'm going down to Cookie Loka for an ordination.
Hmm. So a public ordination, will that be?
The public ordination of Donald from Wellington.
And that will be your first?
Yes.
I thought, to finish, because time's running out, but just what you've been aware of these meetings for years, you know, Sarah and I come over and tell you about them all.
Mm.
What's it been like to be at one of these college meetings? What sticks out for you?
Well, Adistana is a place. I've not been here before, not seen it before. When I was last in the UK, there was this loose idea of the St. Hiraksha Library. And this has emerged out of that. The first thing that really hit me was how big the place was, how many buildings there were. It's far more extensive than I envisaged it. I've also found the college members exceptionally welcoming. You know, they've gone out of their way to make me feel at home here. It's been fantastic. I think this is a phenomenal resource for the movement, one that I'm trusting will have significant impact over the years.
And do you plan, how often are you planning to come over? Are you hoping to go over once a year or every 2 years?
Be more like every 2 years, I imagine.
We'll work on that.
It's a big commitment to come over here. Like, I'm coming over for 4 months. Which means I'm not running anything in New Zealand over that period. It leaves things a little bit short in Auckland.
Given that, take the opportunity to mention, you know, that it need it's 4 months, partly because making such a trip and with such expense.
Yeah.
You know, you want to combine a lot of elements into it, and you have Donald to ordain. But, you know, if there was a fund that made it possible, which is what we're trying to achieve, that made it possible for people to get over for meetings without necessarily having to.
Well, that's already there and operative. I do get assistance.
Yeah.
I have got assistance with my airfares for the immediate college event.
Right. But do you think would that make it possible for you to consider coming once a year rather than every 2 years? If it was financial.
I think my hesitation is more in the area of personal energy and time away from the continuity of things in Auckland.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Nada Bodhi and Perna, for introducing yourself. And wish you well for the rest of your trip to both the UK and Spain. Hope your public ordination goes well in Cuchulainn soon. Thank you very much.